Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll begin in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice there in verse number 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk. All right, so in this lesson, we want to see how the believer is to walk differently from other Gentiles, that is, from ungodly men, ungodly people. Believers are not to walk as other men walk. We are new creatures in Christ. That's what the Bible says regarding us. And we are not to walk as other people walk in, as we're going to see here, in their sin, because those things don't please God. It's essentially what this lesson is covering. Notice, let's look at the first thing there in verse number 17. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So other Gentiles, Paul makes mention that other Gentiles are walking in the vanity of their mind. Well, what does that mean? When people choose that they don't want God in their mind, then they are void and they are empty of God and of His truth. God is not in their thoughts. None of the things that they do or that they consider have anything to do with anything that God says. They walk vain, or like it says here in the passage, in the vanity of their mind. Their minds are ready to be filled with something else. They're filled with other gods. They're filled with the things of the world. I mean, just look around and think about some of the people that you work with and some of the things that they tell you that's on their mind. And you'll realize where it is that they've been spending a lot of time. They spend a lot of time in worldly pleasures. I mean, this world, just heard a message on, this is just a temporary home for us. We're just passing by. But sometimes we lay our roots down, or these people that we're talking about here, they lay their roots down and they focus on worldly pleasures, on worldly possessions, how much they can accumulate, how much they can get, on worldly power. What position can I have? How can I be above somebody else? They want those things. How to have more power? They begin to think about religions and other ideas. And these all things, all of these things are vanity. In other words, they're empty. They're senseless. They're worthless. They're aimless. These are the wrong desires. And you and I should not have those desires. That's the point that Paul is making. The mind of man walks after these things. This is the person that walks after these things. What they do is they neglect God, they ignore God, and they reject God. Because essentially they're walking in the vanity of their own mind. They do what they want to do. According to Psalms, you don't have to turn there, Psalms chapter number 10 and verse number 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. This is what this person does. It's just, whatever I'm going to do because I want to do it. This is what's in my mind, but what's in their mind is not God. They don't seek the things of God. Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. So left to our own selves, or in as this verse says, left to the vanity of our own mind, that's all it is. The thoughts of our mind are just vain. And Paul said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So what's the solution? What do we do regarding this? Well, the believer is to never allow his mind to become empty of God. God should always be in our minds. From the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, God should be filling our thoughts and things that are in the mind. Well, what happens when he does it? Other things come in. The vanity of man is already there, and so you're going to walk in your own vanity, and that's not what we want to do. Turn to Romans chapter number 8. Keep your place, but go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Spirit of God. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice, for to be carnally minded, that's what we're talking about, right? The vanity of their mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this is what God wants us to do, to be spiritually minded and not to be carnally minded. We have the choice. Those other Gentiles are walking in the vanity of their own mind. They're walking in the flesh. They're walking in their carnal ways. But that's not what we should do. We should walk in the Spirit, and then we will mind the things of the Spirit. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Our mind has to stay on spiritual things, on things that please God. That's what God wants. Notice Philippians chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 8. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. These are the things that you and I should be thinking about. And we say, okay, how am I not to walk in the vanity of my own mind as the Gentiles do? Think on these things. If these things occupy the mind, then we won't have that, we won't be like those other Gentiles walking in the vanity of their mind. But notice, verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's the first thing. Things that are in our mind, all of these things should be in our mind, but first and foremost, the truth should be in our mind. Whatsoever things are true. Well, what things are true? The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, here it is. We're holding it in our hands. We have the truth, and that's what God wants us to have in our minds. That's the solution for somebody that, as Paul said, don't walk like those people in the vanity of their mind. When we walk in the truth, we won't be walking in the vanity of our mind. All right, so that's the first thing. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's look at the next thing. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And then notice this, having their understanding darkened. These people walk with darkened understanding. They can't understand. They can't perceive. They can't comprehend God. They can't understand His eternal purpose for them and the eternal purpose for the world. They don't, one, aside from the fact that they don't care, they don't understand it. That's the problem. They can't understand it. This person may understand this world, that they know very well, and they give themselves to the things of this world. But that, but they don't understand God. Go to John chapter 3 and look at verse number 19. These other Gentiles are walking around having their understanding darkened. And that's not how we want to walk. Notice John chapter number 3. A very familiar passage is verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Notice that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Well, these people don't care. They're walking with their understanding darkened. Christ came into the world, presented the light, and here it is. All of us have His light. We shine His light forth. And so the light of God, of Christ, is everywhere. Other people see it, but they choose to stay in this form, having their understanding darkened. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They're there, and they live there, and they're happy being there. And Paul said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the darkness, having their understanding darkened. All right, so what's the solution for us? The believer is not to allow his understanding to become darkened. There are some things that you know because of being in church, because of reading your Bible, that you already know. You have an understanding of God. But it's so easy to have that understanding darkened by several things. First of all, by living in the world with the world. Then the understanding that we have becomes darkened just like those other Gentiles. So we are not to return to the world of the spiritually blind, the world of those who walk in darkness. We need to walk in the light, and we need to stay in the light. That's the solution for the believer. In John chapter 3, you still there? All right, notice verse number 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. These people, you see, you have the light of Christ, and they don't like you. These other Gentiles that are walking in darkness, they're walking in their own ways. But the problem becomes that if we get too close to them for anything other than to attempt to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going to end up happening is they're going to bring us down to their level. And we don't want that. We don't we're walking in the light, they're walking in darkness, and we are not to have our understanding darkened by going back to the things of the world and to what they're doing. Not only that, we need to stay in the Bible. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This word of God is light. And the more we read it, the more it shines forth in us. And the more it makes us shine to others. Well, that goes to say that the less we read it, the less that light comes in. And with time, what happens? Our understanding can become, like them, darkened. We don't want that. We don't want to lose any ground that we already have. Something that God has already showed us and that we have. "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This is the word of God. It shines light. It's like a lamp. And we need it for daily walking because it gives us enough light as we read it, and it gives us enough answers to make the next step. Well, those people are walking in darkness. They're stumbling all over the place. They don't care about anything that's in the Word of God. But they stay dark for that matter, but not us. So when you come to the Word, your understanding will not be darkened because you'll learn the things that the Holy Ghost wants to teach you. And that's what the Bible says in John 14, 26. "But the Comforter," which is the Holy Ghost, let me find it, John 14, 26. "But the Comforter," which is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name," notice, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So when we walk in the light, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, who is our teacher, will teach us. The more we spend in the Word, the more that light comes in, the more the Holy Spirit of God teaches us, the less we are like those other Gentiles. All right? So we don't want to be like other Gentiles, like Paul said, having their understanding darkened. All right, let's go back to Ephesians and let's look at the next thing. Look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened. And then this, "being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." Paul said, don't do that. Don't be alienated from the life of God. This person is alienated, which means he's estranged. He's separated. He's cut off from God. And this is something that these people choose to do. They choose to remain ignorant, some of them. They want to stay ignorant. They don't want to know the things of the Bible because it'll bring conviction, and that's the last thing that they want. So some choose to stay ignorant and with a blind heart. That's as it says there in verse number 18. They don't want to come to the truth and be forced to change their ways. Stay where you are. Actually, go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 18. Oh, that's where you are. Okay, let me go to Colossians. Let me read one verse. Colossians 1 and verse number 21. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled." So here, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you and I, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, That's the verse that I just read to you. But notice, and some of you all, some of us, were alienated. That's where we were. We were separated from God at some point. Obviously, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. The Bible says that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And because of that, you and I are reconciled to him. And that's what he wants. He wants everybody to be reconciled to him. But these people that were sometimes alienated and enemies in their own mind, they don't want to be reconciled. They find pleasure in this lifetime. And that ought to not be the case. They say, it's okay, I'll just live the way I want to live here. Don't tell me anything about God. But that's a problem. Not only do they not have eternal life now, but they won't have, not only can they live eternal life now if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but when they die, we know where they're going. And some people would rather stay in their own pleasures, like these guys, alienated from the life of God, just so that they can continue in their own sin. All right, notice, and this happens two different ways. Ephesians 4:18, being alienated from the life of God, how? Through the ignorance that is in them. They choose to be ignorant within their mind. People don't want to know. Some people, you go and you tell them things about the Bible, and they say, no, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. No, stop talking. Why? Because, well, they know that this is the Word of God, and they know that if they understand, they know these things, and if they understand it, they got to do something about it. And they can either choose to ignore it or to do something about it, so they rather stay ignorant. Other people stay ignorant because they're too smart. You go and you tell them, listen, the gospel, it's the simplicity of the gospel that gets people saved. There's nothing that we have to do aside from a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand this, that the sacrifice has already been made. The price has already been paid. The blood has already been shed. And all that the unbeliever has to do is believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are too smart for that, and they'll say, no, that's not all it takes. Some people are too good for that. No, I don't need God. Okay, well, you're going to need him one day. Amen. But that's what they say. Other people, I've come across some people where you get to the point where you tell them verses. First, we got to recognize that we're a sinner. And so you'll tell them, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's been some people that have told me, I just have a problem with that because I've never done anything bad. Thinking, really? I've only encountered two people like that, but they're out there. And they'll say, I've never done anything wrong. They'll say, wait, according to who? Because if you compare yourselves to a holy God, just the mere fact that you lived on earth here one day, you've done plenty against God. But those people are perfect. They have no sin. And then there's others that don't want any change in their life. And there's others that don't need God. I'll stay living the way I am. All these people choose to be ignorant. And Paul said, don't be like them. Don't be like other people alienated from the life of God because they are ignorant. And not only that, notice there in verse number 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. So they choose to have a heart that is blind to God, whether they're saved or lost. The heart is sensitive to the things of God, but they make it blind so it doesn't see. When the word of God is preached, if people will get that in their heart, and it'll do something. Now, what they choose to do with that, or what we choose to do with that, that's up to us. And some people make their heart blind. So what's the solution to this point? That we're not alienated from the life of God. Don't walk as other Gentiles, alienated from the life of God. Because that's not only for unbelievers, that's for believers too. There's some people that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have said, you know what, I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to live this life according to how I want to live it. And they go off into sin and they say, don't tell me anything about the Bible. Don't tell me anything about church. And they've separated themselves. They've alienated themselves from God. So what's the solution to that? Stay in fellowship with God. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. First Corinthians chapter number 1, and we're going to read from verse number 8. Who shall also confirm you until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the what? Unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I were called to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. We've said this before, that our Christian walk is not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about the things that we need to do, as you know, what many men might come up with or what churches might come up with. Those things are religious. What God's looking for is a relationship, and a relationship so that he can have fellowship with us and so that we can have fellowship with him. And when we have fellowship, then we won't be ignorant and our heart won't be blind and we won't be alienated from the life of God. Every person ultimately is responsible for their own life. And here we are tonight. I don't know what your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're responsible. Amen. And it's possible that you're alienated from the life of God even now. I mean, you're here on a Bible study on a Tuesday, and that's good. But nobody knows if you're reading your Bible. Nobody knows if you're praying. Nobody knows if you're going to church. Nobody knows those other things. Nobody knows what's in the heart. God knows, but I wouldn't be able to see anybody and say, oh, I can see this in that person. I couldn't do that. So you're responsible for your own life and death. And after death, we know that there's a judgment. And God has already died, and he offers us eternal life right now. And so if there's a person that's here today and that is alienated from God, well, know this, you don't have to stay separated from God. God wants you to have fellowship with him, and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You see, that's something that those other Gentiles do. They choose to be alienated from God. All right, well, I'm saved. Well, good. And here we are, again, in this Bible study, but if your life with God has been alienated, don't let it be like that anymore. Take this as an instruction from God telling you that he doesn't want that. Obviously, we see that was the example. Don't be like them, alienated from God. Amen. Get back in fellowship with God. All right, and let's look at another thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 19. All right, notice the next thing there in verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Paul said, don't walk as other Gentiles who have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Well, what is lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness. Essentially, it is unrestrained evil thoughts and behaviors. That's what that is. That sounds very drastic, and it is. And these people that Paul is referring to, he says, don't be like them. Is it possible for a Christian to be so far out like that? It is possible, as we're going to see. Why? How does this happen? Well, I want you to see one thing. Go to Jude, verse number 4. Right before Revelation is Jude. And look at Jude, verse number 4. This person that has given himself over to lasciviousness is a person that has sinned so much that now he has no restraint. And now this person doesn't even care what you think about him. He doesn't care what they say about him. His sin has gone so far out that it's very difficult to come back. He's just, it doesn't care what anybody else thinks. I know at first, you know, when people sin, they do it behind closed doors. When people sin, they do it hiding, all those things. But when you're at this point and there's lasciviousness, all bets are off. You talk to people a certain way. You carry yourselves with people a certain way. It just, all bets are off. Things are just like that, like I gave the description. Notice Jude verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. These people, they're past feeling. This is a person that has been ignoring the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. That's why it says when they're going past feeling, what is it? The Holy Spirit of God is trying to get their attention. He's saying, don't go there. Don't do that. No, that's how the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. But it's past feeling in the sense that they've not heeded the warning of the Holy Spirit of God, and they've continued in their sin, and they just keep doing it. At a certain point, the Holy Spirit of God is grieved, and essentially, he gives you over to what you want. They're past feeling. They no longer have feeling for God and his standard of morality. They've become callous. You know how when you get a callous in your hand or in your foot, at a certain point, you just don't feel it anymore. It may hurt initially, but not after a while. They become insensible, they become hardened. And the more a person walks in sin and without God, the more the person becomes callous to righteousness. The sin no longer bothers the person, and that's when they go over to lasciviousness. As this person continues in sin, at some point they're giving over to lasciviousness. It's all gone. Anything goes. So what's the solution? The believer is not to return to sin. The Bible is very clear. As Christians, God doesn't want us to sin. Now, I understand that we sin, but he doesn't want us to willfully go and sin, to go looking for it, to find it, essentially. What may affect some people may not affect others, but at any rate, God doesn't want us to go back to those things. He's not to walk as other men walk in sin. Why? Because then the person, again, like I said, they become callous and they become insensitive to God, and they just continue in sin. They think that God is okay with it. And then it gets to the point where they don't care if God thinks it's okay or not okay. They don't care what people think, and they get to this point. And the solution is to fear God. The Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Now, oftentimes we sin, and because nothing happens, we think, well, maybe it's okay. Well, first of all, God is not okay with it, but because a consequence doesn't come right away, we go a little bit more, we do something else. But when we live in the fear of God, and we say, what I'm doing or what I'm about to do is against God, and God can kill me for this, then it brings a new perspective of sin that leads to lasciviousness. Okay? All right, and then the last thing there in Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse number 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Essentially, this is a person that craves and desires to have more and more uncleanness. And you understand, there's no need to explain that or to go into detail. This is a person that, again, if you are greedy after this, you're far gone. I'm saying that God can't turn you around, but I'm saying that's why Paul is saying, don't even start over here, because this leads to lasciviousness, then it leads to uncleanness with greediness, and we don't want to get to that point. Other Gentiles might walk like that, but not us. These people want more and more, even though they've already had enough. They go from one unclean to another, coveting unclean things. So what's the solution? The believer needs to walk away before he gets to this point. Way over here, when we initially started talking about the vanity of their mind, we need to search our own hearts and to say, is this even me? Because if my thoughts throughout the day are not even God's thoughts or his ways or what he wants me to do, then we're already just a little bit off. And those things that are in the mind then become an understanding, and our understanding becomes darkened. And instead of walking in the light and in the truth of the Word of God, then we start saying, well, we're all kind of on the fence. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a good thing, but I think it's okay. We end up compromising in things that we shouldn't compromise in, and we end up doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, and we say things that we're not supposed to say. We see things we're not supposed to see, and on and on and on. Then, at that point, we become alienated from God. Now, they said, well, in order for me to have free course and just go along with this, I'm just going to be separated from God and do my own thing. They finally jump the fence and they go over. And then from there, as you can see, they go to lasciviousness and uncleanness with all greediness. So obviously, in conclusion, I'll say this. This is, like Paul said, how other Gentiles walk. And he said, don't walk like them. And so this is not only instructional for us, but I believe this is a warning for us that if we are even thinking about going in that direction, we ought to stop and say, I'm not even going to entertain it. Not only that, a warning that if we are in anything that we've talked about today, that we stop and that we turn around and we say that this doesn't please God and that we don't even go past it. And this is the solution to not go down this path. Amen?